For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
You're listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. Now part of the ChairShot Radio Network on thechairshot.com. Remember, always use your head.
You look like a dude who should be pumping my fucking gas.
This isn't doing it for me. I'm not getting enjoyment out of this.
He was a before the bell rings all-star.
All right, everybody. It is Thursday night, November 9th, 2023. You are listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, part of the ChairShot Radio Network. You can find us on thechairshot.com, where we remind you and encourage you to always use your head. I'm going to go around the room and introduce this cast of characters that we have here tonight. First, hailing from the Purple Haze and Cloud 9, Bucky's tag team partner, a man destined to go through a barbershop window. Jason, sir, how are you?
I am doing well. How are you, gentlemen?
I'm hanging in there. We're going to talk about that in a minute. And from the Rob the Genius podcast, the minister of truth, the father of facts and figures, the deacon of data, the official shoot bear of the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, Ray Cash's daddy, and the man with the golden shovel, Mr. Rob, welcome back, sir.
I love that. Oh, Ray's going to love hearing that.
Oh, he's going to be so hot with me when we see him again. We'll have to have him on here one night. He's a hard guy to pin down. He's busy, busy, busy dude. And I am the man with the award-winning and holy beard, DJ. We've got a pretty big show lined up tonight. Going to consist mainly of Rob and Jason carrying the load while you intermittently hear me snoring. Been a rough week for me. I'm exhausted tonight, and we're going to talk about that a little bit. We're going to go around the room here. We haven't done this in a little while. We were trying to get in a habit of doing it because we support mental health explicitly on this show. We're going to do a little mental health check-in. I'm going to start with Jason. Sir, how we been lately? I know we're heading into the holidays, people getting their feelings, and you know, I think it's important to keep each other honest about this stuff.
It's been good. I mean, honestly, I'm in a pretty good place right now. Just with the professionally doing very well, and you know, getting to do some new things at the job, learning some new stuff there. Awesome. And then, personally, I have nothing going. We're rocking and rolling. I know it was touch and go for a couple weeks there, but you know, continue.
Get yourself leveled back out.
Exactly. Put your nose to the grindstone. Keep doing your thing. Keep, you know, for me, it's your just little mental health exercises that, you know, help you from going crazy. A little breathing exercise once in a while. You know, yeah. Talking. I think, obviously, that's good stuff. So
people,
you
know, don't realize how sometimes just simple breathing, just breathe. Like, you know, my daughter has a lot of anxiety and a lot of, you know, difficulty expressing feelings and things like that. And, you know, she'll have a hard time verbalizing what's going on in her head. If you have ADHD or you know anybody with ADHD, the best way to describe it is it's almost like there are 10 TVs going on in a room and you don't know which one to listen to. Well, now imagine trying to talk through that. And so you just got to tell her, breathe, slow down, breathe, come back to center. And, you know, I do that in my office a lot. I just, when I'm having a bad day, I go in, I close my door, and I just breathe.
So, yep.
Just important stuff. Important. Yeah. Yep. Rob, how about you? How are you doing there, buddy?
All right. Well, like I was telling you before we started recording, I woke up this morning and my left calf muscle just completely locked up on me this morning. And this is what happens when you turn 49, kids. Okay. These things happen sometimes. You don't even have to be doing anything. Okay. And it just, like, it felt like it was on fire for a few minutes. And so, I had to just massage my own leg for a minute there, and you know, and it was okay. But other than that, okay. It's getting close to the end of the year for us, so I gotta, you know, we're mostly out of the woods as far as work stuff goes, but I was in like a 4-hour training class today, and but other than that, we're doing okay. And
all right.
You know, ready for these holidays to come up, everything, but I'm hanging in there.
All right, good deal. Yeah, it's for me, it's largely been work. Got a few personal things. I got one of my kids that's going through some not so great things, and if you're a parent, you've gone through it. One of the worst things you can do is watch your kids struggle, and you know, watch your kids struggle through things that you kind of predicted were going to happen. And you told them, and they still went down that path anyway. That's been kind of a situation with me. And then work has been doubly just stressful because, one, we're in our busy season. I'm in Florida. All the snowbirds come down this time of year. So we're busy. I'm short-staffed. And, you know, the last few weeks, it's been a little rough. You know, I'm in this management position, and I work very hard. And I know my employers appreciate my work. That doesn't help me from having my moment of self-doubt. You know, when I go in there, and no matter how hard I've worked, shit still falls apart. And it's through no fault of my own and well beyond anything that I could have controlled. But you still, I take my job very seriously, very personally. And when it goes sideways, you know, I shoulder that, and probably unhealthily so. And again, comes back down to what I said about Jason, you know, just a couple minutes ago. Sometimes it's going to stop. Step back, realize that some things just are not yours to control, and breathe through it. And sometimes it helps. Other times I do this podcasting thing. You know, it's part of why I try to get myself on as many podcasts as possible. This is my creative outlet, and sometimes this is cathartic for me. I get on here, I talk with my friends. We talk about something we all love together. And damn it, when we're done, a lot of times I feel better, and I thank you guys for that.
Oh, same here, man. There are weeks where I just, where I flat out, just like what I look forward to a lot of weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. I do. I look forward to Thursday nights, and, you know, I did a little thing with right before we recorded here. I jumped on the DWI for a couple minutes and did trivia with AJ, and I whipped PC Tunney's ass at trivia this week. Proud to say that. Tony's going to have some heat with me after that, but yep, totally whipped his ass. We'll have him on here at some point, and we'll talk about that. But yeah, it was fun. It was just, you know, a little something to do, and it takes your mind off of things. And I get to jump on here with my boys. We're going to talk some Crown Jewel. I'm going to talk a little bit of NXT TV and, you know, their upcoming TV deal. And we're just going to kind of let things flow tonight. No real agenda. Just let things happen as they happen. Call it in the ring, as I like to say. So I'm going to kick it over to Jason here without further ado. Jason's got the card. Jason's going to handle this, and we're going to get into this and talk about it a little bit. Jason, the floor is yours.
All right. So we had the 2023 edition of WWE Crown Jewel emanating from Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, and we kicked things off with a bang. By the way, got to say, this might be my favorite set they've done. the big gem in the middle, as the hanging over the ring.
That's gorgeous. That set was gorgeous.
That set was out of control. But so they also kicked off with a bang, and they had the WWE World Heavyweight Title match, and we had Seth Rollins in a long and hard-fought contest. He did go over one Drew McIntyre. So unfortunately, Drew comes up empty-handed again. You know, and we had a will he, won't he moment with the Judgment Day, and then obviously we had a run-in from Damian Priest, which was then squashed by Sami Zayn, which was a choice. But you know, we can only make these guys look like bobos so many times. But anyway, yeah, the match itself though was awesome, and you know, I looked what we thought was going to happen. Seth, you know, held on to his title. DJ, what do you have here with your boy, Seth Rollins?
Another great showing by Seth Rollins. I enjoyed it. It was a great match. Being a Drew McIntyre fan, I think I said on the show last week that I was kind of pulling for Drew. I've said for a while now, you know, I'm buying into the Drew McIntyre story of, you know, when he won the championship, it was in front of nobody. And I'd like to see what Drew looks like as a major champion in front of an actual crowd. Didn't get that Saturday. Not mad about it because Seth is my boy. You know, I'm a ride or die for Seth Rollins. But all in all, the match was fantastic. I didn't mind the foiled cash-in attempt by Sami Zayn. I think it plays into his character. He's doing everything that he can right now. It is his personal mission to make sure that Judgment Day does not, in fact, run Monday nights. And this was just another play in that. And it also, it fuels that dissension amongst Judgment Day. Because now, like Cody Rhodes cut in that promo, he's looking at Damian Priest like, okay, who are you? Are you somebody's lackey or are you going to be the next guy? And that fires up Damian Priest, and now I'm invested in that.
All right, Rob?
Yeah, I think that was the best match of the night, for sure. And yeah, the briefcase thing, I mean, okay, when it happened, I was a little bit annoyed. But like DJ said, it actually does. It makes more sense now. You know, now that we have a few minutes, kind of to see things play out a little bit more. Yeah, I do. But I mean, I will stand by my take that at some point, somebody in the group has to look around and say, "Okay, there's five of us and one of him."
Yeah.
Yeah. At some point, right? You have to do that. And even if it's not successful, right? I mean, you know, shit can happen, you know, regardless, and it can still go left some type of way and it not work, right? But and just at some point, somebody has to count. Somebody has to count and say, okay, you know, which, and since he's going to be in the War Games, like in one of the old War Games matches, there was a bit where, like, the babyfaces wanted, they were leaving, and then the heels, as like four of them walked out of the cage because they were all leaving, and then of the heels jumped the fifth person who was still in there, and they closed the door and beat the shit out of them. That would be a perfect thing to do here if they want to do that in the War Games match.
Yeah,
to Seth Rollins, right? But because that was the best match of the night, and yeah, I do like that. Yeah, at some point, with the Seth winning with, you know, everything with Stomp 1, 2, 3, I guess I was a little annoyed by that day. But Monday night, the way he beat Sammy with the roll up, I thought was perfect because you're still selling the back injury, you know, and all of that. Like at some point, it has to turn into you just barely escaping and not just straight up beating everybody.
Yeah.
So I think
that's been him losing the title pretty much.
Yeah, because right now it's shaping up like in the comic version of the Bane story.
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, in the comic version of the Bane story with Batman, like the first year of it was Bane blew open Arkham Asylum and Batman had to put everybody back in, and that's what wore him out. You know.
That man was working two a day or 3 days, you know, no shift, no days off, you know, because every single night somebody new from Arkham was causing trouble. And then at the end of that year, Bane basically came and picked the bones.
Right. So, I mean, it at least feels like it should be going. That's to me, that's the way it should go. Right. I mean,
yeah.
He, you know, he keeps having hold on and holding on, and somebody finally just gets the drop on him, and that's it. But we'll see.
It's got to pay off sooner or later. But I think that is coming, for whatever that's worth. Anyway, next up we had the WWE Women's World Title match. It was a fatal five-way where Rhea Ripley successfully defended her championship against Nia Jax, Raquel Rodriguez, Shayna Baszler, and Zoe Stark. Zoe Stark, man, she's awesome. That sell on what's-her-name's finisher there, on Rhea's finisher, or no, it wasn't her finisher, it was the knee to the head, the modified, like, GTS. But anyway, that sell was just incredible. It looked like she had been hit with a shotgun, and she just looked great throughout the match, but everybody kind of got, as they do in these fatal five-way matches, everyone got their chance to shine, and they all did. So, and Rhea kept her championship, which, you know, full steam ahead with her, obviously. So, yeah, high marks all around for me. Rob, what do you have here?
I thought it was good, like everybody got to do something, and the ending felt a little bit abrupt. Like, it felt like almost, you know, just one of those things where, I guess, it felt kind of like somebody told them, like, all right, time to go. And, you know, but other than that, it was a good match. And like I said, everybody got to do something. And, you know, Rhea won as expected.
All right, Rob, whoever you are, DJ.
I'm DJ. Nice to meet you. No, I enjoyed this match very much. And Zoe Stark, we've been hyping her up for months and months and months on this. On this podcast, I'm excited to see her get this opportunity to go out and really just impress in this match. But again, it was one of those situations where everybody in the match felt important. And I like that here. You know, in a lot of these five-way matches, four-way matches, somebody is filler. And at least under the Triple H regime, nobody's been filler. Obviously, not everybody's going to win. But even Shayna Baszler, who we've complained about on this show for probably a year now, what are we doing with this girl? And I know Rob has said that on multiple occasions. What are we doing with Shayna to the point where he's given up hope of them ever using her? There was at least a moment in that match where you thought, hey, she just might. And I like that. I thought it was a lot of fun. I thought it was very well done.
Yeah, good piece of business. And I had it backwards. Rhea sold Zoe's finisher. Like she had been hit in the head with a shotgun, but Zoe, oh my God, put some stank on that thing.
No, she did.
Yeah, that was awesome piece of business by both of those girls. So anyway, next up had the upset of the night, I'd say. John Cena must have known that the strike was ending soon because Solo Sikoa pinned John Cena clean as can be. At Crown Jewel, and it was awesome. I loved, they faked me out so hard. I thought they were going, you know, because Cena kept working Solo's wrist and his thumb and his hand, like, oh, he's trying to take out the spike, you know, that's the story we're telling. Okay, is it? And then Cena kept dodging it, and I'm like, that's not the payoff for that. We don't keep dodging it. Like, Solo's going to hit it, and it's going to be slow, and Cena's going to catch it or something like that. No, I didn't realize that Solo's, like, if you're playing 2K, WWE 2K, his arm would be red, so he does less damage. So he just has to spam his finisher about 40 times into John Cena's throat and leave him a mess at the end of that match. So they faked me out with that finish, and the finish that they came up with was awesome. And good for Solo, man. That's one of those things that we still talk about Brock Lesnar beating the ever loving bag out of, you know, John Cena. So Solo can talk about that till the day he retires. Like, he didn't just beat Cena. He beat Cena. down. So I had a ton of fun. DJ, what'd you have here?
Seth and Drew may have had the best wrestling match of the night. John Cena and Solo Sikoa told the best story all night. Like, I really found myself, like, towards the end, they pulled me in, and I felt awful for John Cena by the end of that match. I was like, this, and I like that they're slowly, remember when we talked about when Roman beat The Undertaker at WrestleMania, and The Undertaker was the old aging gunslinger, was reaching the end of the road, and the young gun came in and took him out. This was the same feel with Solo and John. You know, obviously, John's not quite as beat up and broken as The Undertaker is. He's still got some gas in the tank. But you're starting to get that feel. This is the phase of life that John Cena is entering now. You know, I'm the old guard. I'm the old gunslinger. These kids are coming in, and these kids are starting to be a little quicker on the draw and questioning whether or not he's still got it. Absolutely incredible storytelling. They wrote me in the whole time. And, you know, the question has been asked. I know our boys over at Three Count Thursday asked it this week, was, you know, Crown Jewel John Cena's last match? I say absolutely not. The writer strike is mercifully over, so John Cena is going away for a while. But I still think we get one more run out of John Cena, and he comes back and he gets that redemption somewhere before he finally puts his guns away for good.
Rob?
I was surprised. Because, you know, I was expecting Solo to do the spike once and seeing the kick out and all that stuff. And then, like, when he did, like, was it five times, I figured, okay, well, there's something going to happen here. There's no way he's... Because if he kicks out of five of them, then that's just ridiculous. You know, we can't do that. But even then, when the ref counted three, I was still like, oh damn. I do kind of question him doing it right now because, like, Solo's not really going anywhere after this. He, you know, he's the henchman coming in, and he's the henchman now still. You know, like, if he was going to get a title shot at the next show or something, then by all means do that. I just kind of felt like, okay, why are we doing this right now? And now the strike is over, so he's gone. So it's kind of, you know.
Go ahead and finish, and I've got a thought. I'm going to piggyback on that, Rob.
I kind of question doing this right now because there isn't any, you know, people say, what was he going to, but it doesn't feel like Solo's actually going to get anything. In terms of follow-up, he's not going to get anything out of this right now. You know, whereas, you know, if they did it, you know, next year or something, or at some later point where there was a follow-up to, you know, that you could immediately go to, then by all means do it. I just kind of question doing it right here where there's no immediate follow-up of any kind to do right now.
Well, I'm going to give you an early prediction. This is what I think they're going to do. I think you have Solo Sikoa just officially and effectively ran John Cena out of the territory. And you can either run that back at WrestleMania if John is free, or you – hang on a minute. Sorry. You have Solo make one hell of a showing at the Royal Rumble and somehow or another get into a program with Kevin Owens leading to Solo Sikoa and Kevin Owens at WrestleMania next year. I think that's a WrestleMania worthy match. I think you build Solo up as this monster and, you know, Kevin Owens is going to try to take down the monster.
All right. I could buy that.
I guess my only thing is, like, he's already lost matches though. Like, if he hadn't lost yet, you know, but I mean, he's lost matches to people already. Of course we have to see how it goes, but right now I question doing this right here, right now, because But even if that does happen, like you said, you know, before that happens, we got 2 months where he's going back to being, you know, Big Bubba Rogers, basically.
Yeah, you can bill him as the guy who beat up John Cena, and that's a feather in the cap.
Yeah.
The Gallows and Anderson made it a whole thing.
They did.
So,
all right, what's next, Jason?
Next up, we had the United States Championship match where Rey Mysterio lost his United States champion to social media megastar Logan Paul. I loved it. I love the intrigue with how they introduced Santos and, you know, oh, he's here to help Rey. And then he mysteriously leaves the brass knuckles that he just took away from someone right where Logan Paul can reach them. So I'm intrigued, and I love already the United States champion, Logan Paul, you know, already aces. It's on his Instagram. I'm sure it's been on his show and all that stuff. So he's doing exactly what we said he was going to do with it. So hats off to everybody. And the match was awesome, by the way. That they did a fun, you know, cruiserweight hard-hitting match, and the subterfuge with the brass knuckles was great. So, again, high marks all around. So, Rob, what'd you have here?
Oh, yeah, this is another good one, and it went, like, we called it, Logan Paul winning the U.S. title. Yeah, I'm curious to see how they're going to flesh out this whole thing with Rey and Santos, because I'm like, people have been calling for it to happen, you know, like from our Twitter friends and all that. They've been calling for it for several months now, and I guess my take has always been, all right, do y'all just want this to happen just because, you know, because it just happened, you know, or what? And so, yeah, I want to see how they make a story out of it happening. And not just have it be a thing you do just to do it, right? So it looks like, I mean, you know, and then, you know, they've put a couple of building blocks there, like when Santos got hurt and Rey won the U.S. title in his place and all that type of thing. Yeah, Lou, I give credit to Logan Paul for basically saving Rey's neck on that one spot.
Yeah. He might have saved Rey's life there.
Yeah.
Brutal.
I got some thoughts on that in a minute.
Go well. What were your thoughts on the match?
Yeah.
All in all, I had a lot of fun with the match. I will say this, and because I do this with some of these people that come in from the outside, I kind of watch the match clinically. For me, the match kind of exposed Logan's inexperience a bit. The Logan Paul spots were awesome. His ring presence, everything about him, the presentation, everything is really good. But there were just some times in there where they were trying to work a catch-as-catch-can match and try to do a bit of grappling and chain wrestling, where I think Logan got a little kind of discombobulated. It was slight, it was subtle, but I caught it. The ring awareness from him in catching Rey with that springboard moonsault, two things I noticed there. One, Logan was slightly out of place for it. Which is part of why Rey was going to miss him. That being said, he instantly knew he was out of place, leaned in to catch Rey properly, and saved Rey from crashing and burning. So to me, that shows growth, and that shows me that the guy, you know, is really not just in there phoning it in. He's in there trying. He respects it, and he respects the workers enough to try and protect them. Incredible piece of business all the way around.
Good stuff. So next up, we had, well, I'm just going to say my piece. We had the WWE Women's title match. Io Sky successfully defended against Bianca Belair due to the returning and amazing Kairi Sane. And Rob, do you just want to take the wheel here, bud?
Yeah, because, okay, now I did not watch this until I caught the end of it. I didn't see, like, most of the actual match itself. I forgot why I had to get up and do something, but because and this is the time for you to slip the Rob Hayes women's wrestling joke in there, right?
We'll get it.
I promise. I did not get up to go whatever I had to do. I did not do that because I hate women's wrestling, folks. Okay. Okay. But yeah, I mean, that's what I figured. Well, we had called that last week, Kyrie, because again, back to the whole numbers thing, you know, you had two people, you have two women, you know, Bayley and Io, who can actually fight, you know, who are clear to actually fight against five who have a beef with them. And at some point, somebody else, you know, they had to get somebody else. So it, you know, it made sense, you know, and it adds to kind of the intrigue now because, of course, you know, Bayley and Kyrie last, you know, they were beefing with each other and Bayley ran Kyrie out of town, but Kyrie and Io were tag team partners and they never had an issue with each other. And so it makes perfect sense that Io would call Kyrie and that she wouldn't ask Bayley for permission first.
Thank you. Thank you, Rob. Apparently that was just a bridge too far for some folks online.
Oh, yeah, there was some moron on Twitter I replied to that was like, this doesn't make any sense.
But that wasn't an isolated person, Rob. I saw a lot of people be like, this doesn't make any sense. Why wouldn't Bayley know? I'm like, and they're not doing a bit. I'm like, really, guys? This is pretty easy, and you always ask for long-term storytelling. Well?
Right, and then also, I mean, Bayley's gotten Io into enough jams, that Io probably, it makes perfect sense for Io to feel like she doesn't have to ask for Bayley to do this. Because, you know, Bayley a couple of times, once Bayley got her into a triple threat match, it was Fastlane, you know, without asking her, right? And so, you know, it makes sense for Io to feel some kind of way like, well, you know, hey, I need to do this, so I'm just going to do it, and, you know, who cares what she thinks? So it all makes sense, you know, and again, like I said, they need help. They have two people who can fight against five who have issue with them. At some point, that's just not going to work out for them. I mean, you know, sooner or later, somebody will run Bayley, will beat the shit out of Bayley outside the ring, and then Io will be stuck in the ring to lose if you don't get some more help. So it makes sense to call somebody else in, and to call somebody else in who in story was not expected by the other side.
There you go, DJ.
Yeah, it all makes sense. I mean,
I have a question because this is something that I saw on more than one person on my timeline. Did they have a bad match? Io and Bianca, because that's not the match I saw. I thought they had a really good match. I had a lot of people saying that they had no chemistry, that the match wasn't good. I didn't see that. Was it perfect? No. But all in all, I saw some really good work from both women. Did you guys view that differently than I did?
I mean, I saw the consensus. I'm sorry, Jason. Go ahead.
Okay. I would say that was it to this... And I sound like a dork in saying this because I like the match. Was it to the standard that I would have expected from those two at a WrestleMania, a Jace, or at least they would have you believe, event? No. Was the match bad? Was it terrible? Did they have no chemistry? Also, no. Like, it was perfectly good. Perfectly good. I don't know how to put it, but I don't know. I saw the complainers too, DJ. They were not isolated, and I don't know what match they were watching.
Okay.
So the consensus that I saw was that it was not as good as that match they had at Backlash earlier this year. I think I said this in our group chat. I've given up on the whole chemistry argument because it looks to me like people don't know what the hell they're talking. I'm just in general, not even with this match. You will literally see people say in one comment that, oh, these two people have great chemistry, and then the next person is like, well, they have bad chemistry. And so I have no idea.
I think chemistry comes down to personal preference. Like, I can sit here and argue that The Undertaker and Stone Cold Steve Austin never, ever had good chemistry together. But did they have bad matches? Absolutely not. They had good matches. I just personally, I think both guys had better matches against other opponents.
Right.
So,
and,
I don't know.
Because, like, I mean, I saw people saying that they're like, well, Charlotte and Io don't have any chemistry. And to that, I would say, like, there are times where definitely, like, the height disparity is a problem, like, for them doing stuff. But no chemistry, like, really?
I don't know.
I think also we're in this era now where people, where some people expect like absolutely pristine rolling around the mat and every move is lined up perfectly and timed perfectly and all of this and all of that. And well, and this is true, I think, especially with the women, is because like for so many of the guys, they're not exactly the same height or exactly the same size, but there seems to be, you don't have these kind of weird size disparities with the guys as much. Whereas like Io's 5 feet tall and Bianca's like 5'6", and yeah, it makes stuff harder to do. And you know, Charlotte's 5'10" and Io's 5 feet tall. So like some of the stuff where Io just kind of, you know, spins around or, you know, whirls around and does some type of head scissors or something, it's a lot harder to do with somebody who's 7 or 10 inches taller than you than when you're with, you know, somebody the same height.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, sometimes with certain women's matchups, it can be, it can look a little raggedy in some spots because, again, like the size, you know, the size disparities. Now, the ones because you, like in general, you have fewer women wrestlers, so like you don't have 20 women who are all 5'8", right? You have You have three who are 5'8". You have one who's 5'10", and then you have five who are 5 feet tall, and it just it can make things more difficult to do, you know, or it can make sometimes stuff just doesn't look as clean. And, you know, because it's just, yeah, I mean, it's, it makes a difference. It really, I mean, it does. I mean, it's harder to climb. It's hard to spin around somebody who's 8 inches taller than you.
Right.
Than somebody who's the same height, you know? So some of these matches, like, it happens sometimes, right? And, you know, also, they don't do a whole lot of women's matches where, like, the big woman just throws around the smaller one. Like, they don't do a lot of those. Right. Like, with, you know, whereas, you know, if you have like Brock versus Ricochet, Brock throws Ricochet all over the ring.
Yeah.
Or Brock and Ray, Brock is tossing Ray all over the ring. And so, like, you don't see Bianca tossing Io all over the ring, and you don't see Charlotte throwing Io around or just, you know, getting on top of her and pounding her. Like, you don't see that. They don't do that in the women's matches. So,
you
know, sometimes stuff is clunky. Sometimes it's, you know, I mean,
all in all, man, I thought it was a good match. I had fun. I love Kairi Sane. So glad to see her back. I was excited when the rumors started going around that she was potentially thinking about coming back. I had little doubt that she would eventually come back because when she first left, she kept the WWE portion of her Twitter handle for quite a while, even after she was gone. And then, you know, I always felt at some point she might be back. I'm glad to see her there. Very excited to see what they do with her moving forward.
This podcast is sponsored by Monarch.
Lifesaver.
Game changer.
The best thing to ever happen to my finances.
The people have spoken. Monarch makes personal financing a breeze.
Monarch is an intuitive, powerful, collaborative finance app that can help you save, budget, and keep your financial life in shape.
With Monarch, I can see my account balances, transactions, and investments in one place, so I always know what's going on with my money.
Whether you're saving for your first home, thinking about starting a family, your own business, or planning for retirement, Monarch is here for you every step of the way.
Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Monarch and manage your finances more effectively. See what thousands of people are saying about Monarch, the app Wall Street Journal voted the best budgeting app of 2024. Collaborate with your partner or financial advisor at no additional cost. Get a 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/podcast. That's monarchmoney.com/podcast for your free trial. monarchmoney.com/podcast.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah, I am excited as well to see her back. And losing the matches, the restrictions are what they are. But once again, beautiful gowns, all of them. All of their gear was just awesome.
Oh yeah, the women looked incredible. All the women looked incredible.
Yeah,
Saturday night, all of them.
They all did the best with the restrictions that they have. So,
and we would be remiss if we did not talk about that Rhea Ripley entrance. How
Moses.
How important was that?
Pretty cool.
Like, and there were people on my timeline that really didn't get it. Like, it didn't register with them how iconic that was for a woman of power to be put in a dominant position in right. front of that crowd.
Even in an act of theater, it's still a significant thing to
right
in front of that audience.
Right.
Like, yeah, even as fictional as it is, it's still like that they don't, that's not portrayed.
Right. It was absolutely iconic, incredible. And, you know, hats off to WWE for pulling it off and for them for allowing it. Because I'm sure there were, you know, people who watched that show in that country who probably felt a certain way about it. You know, much like we have people in this country who probably think people like Rob should still sit at the back of the bus. You know, unfortunately, you find that in other cultures and other countries. But for them to present that there like that, absolutely incredible, and what a leap forward, especially when, what, 4 short years ago, we were told that we were never going to get a women's match over there. I think we hit that home every time we do one of these,
yeah,
one of these shows about a crown, about a Saudi show, is that we were told by some of the best of the, you know, internet wrestling community media minds that they were never going to have a women's match over there. And here we are halfway through this, and we have this. That's incredible.
Multiple matches, and some of them being multi-women matches.
Yeah. Absolutely incredible.
Yep. So next up, we had the American Nightmare victorious over the Judgment Day again. The big hero, Cody. Comes to the rescue and beats up the mean old Damian Priest for stealing his finisher. And, you know, well, here we are. Sometimes you just got to play the hits. I guess that's what we were doing. Rob, what'd you have here for Dusty's baby boy going over?
This was, you know, I've also, Greg DeMarco mentioned, like, back at Money in the Bank, they did Cody and Dominic basically to get Cody a match on the card. This was kind of the same thing. I mean, yeah. Fine for what it was, you know, but that's what it was. You know. Okay. And hey, look, and a salute to Jey Uso, who got paid to go over there and work all of, what, 2 minutes running in there and doing a couple of super kicks.
Jey Uso might be the smartest man in wrestling right now. Because I'm sure they didn't pay him chump change to go over there either.
Look, he went over there, he threw a couple super kicks, didn't take any bumps, and got paid. So
that's awesome.
Bravo. But other than that, I
mean, in event Jey Uso.
Yeah.
So DJ, what'd you have here?
I had fun with it for what it was. I continue to just be impressed to the moon and back with Damian Priest. I hope at some point they give this guy his flowers. Cody's Cody. I love Cody. I'm here for the Cody Rhodes story. Shoehorned in or not, I had fun with this match.
Yeah, same here. It was a lot of fun. So we ended the night with the big match. LA Knight was challenging the Tribal Chief, Roman Reigns, for his undisputed WWE Universal Championship. And I think people are doing a bit with this stuff. I saw a lot more than a few folks that I take seriously, even giving LA Knight 50% of a whisker of a chance in this match, which I found to be incredible. But LA Knight did not successfully dethrone the Tribal Chief in front of the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, as if that was ever on the table, you knuckleheads. But the match was what it was. Roman by hook or by crook, with Paul interfering, beats little LA Knight, and LA Knight is going to be just fine, everybody. It was what it was. Rob, what'd you have here?
I found some people to be kind of annoying. Because, the whole, it's just another Roman Reigns match stuff that people were saying. Did y'all really think, did y'all really think LA Knight was going to win? Of course not. And again, Roman's a heel. Heels are not supposed to win matches. If a heel champion wins a title match fair and square, then that means that the person they beat is not that guy. Okay? That's what that means. Or at least in a big setting like this. And you're not supposed to be happy when he wins, folks. Unless he's your personal favorite like he is with me and Jason, you're not supposed to be happy at him winning the match. And that's how it works. And I'll say the same thing, because there are some fans of EO who don't like that. She all her matches end with cheating finishes, and it's like, well, you that's how it works, folks. Sorry.
These folks would not have survived 1985 to about 1989, Ric Flair.
Yeah.
They would not have survived that title reign, because it was rinse, lather, and repeat every single match. With little variations here and there, it was the same damn thing.
Yeah.
But we loved it. We ate it up.
Some folks are starting to really get in their feelings about Roman Reign. Uh-huh. And it's given me life. Because, let this thing keep going. Because, guys, like Rob said, unless he's your personal favorite, you're probably, you're not supposed to enjoy when he wins. Well, fortunately for me, he is my personal favorite. And I was supporting him when you guys were booing him when you weren't supposed to. So now you're going to start booing him and you are supposed to? Guys, the gravy train is just going to keep on running. So yeah. It's such a glorious thing. DJ, what'd you have here?
I enjoyed the match. I'm probably a little bit higher on LA Knight's performance than a lot of people were. I know I was on the DWI podcast. If you missed that, that is on the Chairshot Radio Network. I was on there with Tunney and AJ Velez. And, Tunney made the statement that he really felt like this exposed LA Knight for just not being on Roman's level. And, having a perfectly fine showing, but was really not on Roman's level. I disagreed with that statement. I think LA Knight showed that he deserved to be there. I thought he hung with them. Obviously he didn't win. And, that by hook or by crook, we knew Roman was winning. I was fine with the outcome of the match. I wanted LA Knight to go out there and show me what he showed me. And he did. The only thing that I have to say about the discourse with this match, and this is one of the things with the internet wrestling community that they do, this show was, minus the kickoff, it was 3.5 hours. There were what, six matches?
Six or seven, I think.
Six or seven matches. If you let one match outcome one match ruin an entire viewing experience for you, why are you even bothering to watch this? Even if I hated the finish of the Roman Reigns LA Knight match, I still had 3 other hours and 6 other matches that I enjoyed. To me, that's a win. To me, that is quality entertainment for $5 a month. You know? And that's really the way I boil it down. The whole show sports entertained me, and this match I thought was a fun, great match for this particular venue, for this particular show, in front of that crowd. Perfectly enjoyable.
So here's the thing with, like, did he hang with Roman? Because you can say, like, is Roman... Guy, in some matches, guys will bust out new moves. Roman will do some really cool stuff with them, things like that. Did we do get that kind of hang with Roman? No. But I would say that Roman got the very, very best that of LA Knight and what the LA Knight experience offers. And that's been just fine to you folks up to this point. And he has no signs of slowing down now. So all in all, it's a win for everybody, I think.
Yeah, I agree with you 100% there.
Well, and I'll just reiterate what I said last week, that can we please just stop for a minute and appreciate, you know, how far this guy has come in a year? And also the fact, like all you guys that, you know, talk about how this person worked 10 years on the indies and this person is that and the other. I mean, he spent a whole shit ton of time working in little small podunk wrestling companies. And then he was in Impact for a while and he was in NWA for a bit. And again, like I'll say it again, like I said last week, when he got signed to NXT, you people were questioning why. Okay.
Yeah.
And I have not forgotten. I will not forget. Okay. That you people were the main ones wondering why on earth did Hunter sign him, this guy who's 40 years old, to an NXT deal, right? Of all things. And so, and I think, look, this is one thing we, like, for these folks who do spend, you know, a long time working on the indies or whatever, but and then finally get something like this, just stop and appreciate it, okay?
Guys, he was trusted in the main event with their biggest guy in front of their biggest customer.
Yeah, and
that's a big freaking deal.
Okay, and
he didn't embarrass himself. So yeah, I'm sorry he didn't have like a 5-star indie flippy dippy soup where he breaks out a new submission and a new suplex that he just learned or something like that. I'm sorry that didn't happen. But again, we got a 5-star LA Knight match and I had a ton of fun.
Yeah, and again, please guys, just learn to appreciate some of the stuff. Like Sami Zayn, for example. Sami Zayn, El Generico, got to wrestle in the main event for the Universal Championship in front of his hometown this year. Okay?
Yeah.
Take some time and appreciate that. Okay? Before you get all mad that he didn't win. Okay?
I'm so sick of the world title or bust rhetoric.
Okay. El Generico, okay, got to do that. Okay? And just how we were talking before about Bray, you know, Husky Harris got to be the WWE World Champion, right? Just, okay, take, you know, before you start complaining again, sometimes you just need to let this stuff, okay? You need to stop and look and see what all happened.
People lack perspective, man.
And hey, that was when that was still the WWE Championship with the lineage. They were not just parading that thing around, even with the two titles. Like, that's a big deal. Husky Harris.
Yeah, exactly. So just take a minute, right, guys, and just think about this, okay? Eli Drake got to wrestle for the Undisputed Championship. Okay.
and held his own and looked believable against the biggest star in the industry.
And he did that at 40 years old. Okay. He didn't have the resume outside of WWE that like AJ Styles has. Okay.
Right.
You know, he doesn't have that type of reputation. Okay. And yet, you know, he was able to get this far. All right. And remember, we all thought he was literally dead and buried with the pitch black match in just in January this year. Okay. And he in 11 months time, he got this. Okay.
Yeah.
So
that's incredible. That's a testament to him, testament to them.
Yeah. And so sit down and just before you start typing stuff on the keyboard, just take some time, sit down and think, just look at that. Think about that. Okay. Think about what he's gotten the opportunity to do. Where just 2-3 years ago, looked like it was never going to happen. Okay.
Right.
And so, and just sit down and just appreciate that. All right. Before you start firing stuff off on the keyboard again.
Yeah.
And whatever happens from here,
In that company, he might have ended his entire career as Max Dupree.
Yeah.
So, let's just enjoy what we've got.
And exactly. And just take some time and just appreciate this.
Yeah. And
wherever it goes from here, it goes wherever it goes, right? But don't worry. I mean, right now, don't worry about that. This guy, got further in 1 year, than anyone expected him to.
No, definitely.
I'm sure there was a point probably where he was the only one who believed in himself, okay? I mean, so just sit back and just, let that sink in, right? Let that sink in and, and just appreciate it. Appreciate all that, right, before you get all mad about how this one match went,
All right. Well, I think that's about it, though. We're going to wrap that up there. All in all, I thought it was a fun show. I enjoyed myself. And, I another solid outing for WWE, and we move forward screaming into Survivor Series, which brings me to next week's episode. I think we're going to do another watch-along. We talked a little bit in the pre-show huddle about doing some Survivor Series watch-along matches. I think we're going to do, what did we agree on, 2 next week?
Yeah, and then one the
week of Survivor Series. So you got that to look forward to next week. Before we get into the last segment here, I want to invite you to go over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. From there, you can browse, look at, peruse, if you will, the collection of T-shirts and apparel from your favorite Chairshot Radio Network podcast, including this very own that you're listening to right now, the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. Got a really fun shirt over there. It's a great callback to the E-Drones. We enjoy it. I think it's a great look. Go pick that up. The holidays are coming. Pick one up for you. Pick one up for your spouse, your kids, your friends. Pick those up. The starving artists here will thank you. Your body will thank you if you pick one up in soft style. That is prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. So let's talk a little bit of NXT here tonight, gentlemen. Specifically, let's talk that NXT TV deal. It was announced, yesterday? Or yeah, later, or sometime today. I'm telling you, this week has been one long Monday for me. That's not hyperbole. It is. I literally woke up Monday morning, and it's now Thursday evening. So when that actual news dropped, I don't know whether it was today or yesterday.
It was yesterday.
Okay. That NXT has CW has picked up the TV rights for NXT. I don't know what the dollar amounts are. Maybe one of my co-hosts has that in front of him, or probably Rob has it logged into memory because he's the numbers guy.
Yeah, it was. All right. So it was reported as being a 70% increase. And then in the same report said they've been getting like somewhere between 15 and 20 million a year from USA. So 70% is around like maybe $35 million a year for 5 years. Which is a big surprise to everybody.
I know there were a lot of wrestling economists, people who make money at this shit, who a year or so ago were saying WWE was likely going to take a pay cut. and that their TV programming wasn't worth what they thought it would be. And here we are, NXT, the training ground, the proving ground, the developmental brand, gets 70% pay increase. I think that's incredible.
Yeah, and now, because, well, everything has just been, it's, this whole thing has just been kind of thrown for a loop, really, because when, you know, Fox didn't want to stick with SmackDown, and so, of course, SmackDown ends up going back to USA, which I don't think any of us were really calling.
No, I didn't see that happen. It's never been on USA.
Yeah, and then, so then from there, and then when they, and then when that was announced, it was also reported that Raw and NXT would be moving. And so it, everything was just kind of up in the air. We had no idea what was actually going to happen. So yeah, this, I mean, it's kind of hard to put together, really, because going to the CW from USA, so you're going from a really well-known cable channel to a, yes, a network, but one that is kind of, gets kind of overlooked, and, you know, and it's not, I mean, CW is not ABC or NBC or whatever, right?
No, but they've had some top-notch programming on there. They had, you know, yeah. Supernatural and the entire Arrowverse. I mean, we're not talking about a, you know, a, an unknown or untested property here. We're talking about, yeah, you know, a network that, that's put on quality programming.
Yeah, I'm, and so it's just, it's a matter, I'm just thinking in terms of like how people's TV channel surfing habits. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens, really. You know, and it's going to matter what night they put it on. Because if it stays on Tuesday, it'll, they'll be fine. Just for the love of God, please don't put them on Friday, because Friday on the CW is a graveyard.
Yeah, don't do that to them.
Yeah.
They'd be competing with SmackDown.
Well, we don't know what's going to happen. Well, we don't know what night SmackDown's going to be on now.
That's an interesting discussion. I don't want to get too far off the road, because I thought we'd talk about NXT, but that's going to be really weird. Say for the brief period in time that Raw left USA back in the, what was it, the early 2000s, Rob? They signed with, it was called TNN, the Nashville Network at the time. And then they morphed it into something that was supposedly geared towards men. I don't even remember the name of the...
Spike TV.
TV for men. You know, and it was... they were on Spike TV because that's what TNN morphed into. And then, so that brief period of time where WWE was off of USA after being synonymous with USA Network for so long was kind of awkward. It's going to be a little... Not that I watch it live, but I feel like that's going to be a bit awkward for Raw not to be there. It's almost been like the comfort zone on Monday nights for decades. And now, I mean, does SmackDown slide into that spot? Will SmackDown still remain 2 hours? I mean, there's a lot of questions in the air right now about that.
Yeah, and but now just as far as NXT goes, it gets, you know, a lot depends on what night they put it on. Now, one thing I made a little prediction. I think the roster composition may change, because normally most weeks when they only go with the developmental kids on NXT, they end up somewhere between 550,000 and 700,000.
Yeah,
normally. I don't think, you know, you're going, I mean, with a channel switch, I don't think you want to, you know, do that. Because you're going to lose some people in the beginning just from switching channels. People have to figure out where it is and find where it is and all of that. But so I think it's just, and this is a network, so there's potential for a bigger audience just because you're in more homes, or it's, you know, so it wouldn't surprise me if, again, some people who we think normally would have gotten called up maybe don't.
Right.
That stay there and they become kind of cornerstones of the brand. It wouldn't surprise me if some of these, you know, when they take somebody who's been on the main roster and send them over there, wouldn't surprise me if they stayed longer. And it wouldn't be a crazy, I wouldn't be the least bit surprised if they took somebody like Jade and made her like the corner of the brand, cornerstone of the whole brand on that show. Right.
Right.
Now, look, she's going to do stuff on Raw or SmackDown. She's not, you know, obviously, but it wouldn't surprise me if it, you know, if it eventually morphed into her, to her being like the boss of NXT, if they choose to do that type of thing.
Right.
I don't think you can go with just a straight up developmental only roster making this kind of move, because again, for those of us who are in the bubble, we love NXT and we don't really differentiate, but so much between that and Raw and SmackDown. But like to people who are not in the bubble, it's AAA baseball.
Yeah.
And you know,
I think they're aware of that, because now you're starting to see some long-term angles and storyline. Like before, a lot of times NXT just felt like, okay, we've got a couple of small feuds going here, but everything is, you know, wrestling match to the next wrestling match to the next wrestling match with no real purpose. Now you've got some really relatable angles going on in NXT that people can sink their teeth into. The Trick Mello thing is a draw. Like, that's a legit bona fide draw. And the crowd that watches CW is going to eat that kind of crap up. You got two really good looking guys who are having trust issues. That's going to be something that people watch, and they're going to want to see where and how it plays out. Same thing with Braun Breaker and what's this kid? He just names Von Wagner. You know, we can feel however we want to feel about Von Wagner overall as a wrestler. But again, that's a story and an angle that people can sink their teeth into. If you call back on the personal story of Von Wagner and the surgeries he had as a kid, and Braun Breaker essentially trying to murder him by crushing his head with the steps, and, you know, give us a why as to why these two behemoths are trying to kill each other. You know, that's a digestible story and very simple to follow. They've got some really good stuff going on right now. And I think that's going to be key and important to moving into CW versus, you know, just feeling like a developmental brand secondary on USA.
Yeah, because, well, like one of the things with booking the Bloodline story the way it is, it's made for network television. Right? I think that's one of the things that's helped. That the way that they have done creatively, just done all the twists and turns and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
And I think it fit with a show that was on network television. And therefore, you know, taking NXT to a network, you have to think more in terms of that,
mm-hmm.
which means, you know, network TV is about familiarity. It's about forming a relationship with the TV characters over time and all that kind of thing. It's not about, you know, okay, we're going to do this for 3 months and then this guy's going to go to another show. Right. I mean, cause if you look at SmackDown, they've kept a lot of the same people that just have stayed there for a while now. And so that's kind of what you do on network. Network TV is more about forming relationships over time with the people on the show.
Yeah.
And to do that type of thing, yeah, you're going to want some people to stay there longer who are there. And again, you're going to need cornerstones, people who make careers on NXT, because, you know, two seasons and they're out isn't just, you know, that's not a network TV kind of thing. You know, having that crazy roster turnover is not a network TV kind of thing. You need people who are going to be there. And that's
is why I don't think you're going to get the Tricks, the Mellows, the Braun Breakers, the guys that are, you know, the people that are legitimate draws right now. I don't think you're going to get that outflux of talent to Raw and SmackDown. They'll probably float up there. They'll probably be for the exposure in the big four pay-per-views, or premium live events, excuse me. but I have a feeling they're putting their major play. We've got a mafia family in NXT. That's awesome. And that's awesome for the CW crowd. What's going to be interesting is to see how much creative liberty CW allows a show like NXT. You know, CW's notoriously had some mature programming on there. If you've ever watched any CW shows, they ride the line with a lot of tricky subjects and a lot of tricky, you know, subject matter and characters and things like that. So you've got, for them to fit into that flow, they should be allowed to develop that kind of thing. And it's going to be interesting to see what happens with NXT creatively once they end up on the CW.
Yeah. And
interesting because I don't see it changing. It's going to be finishing school much more than it is now. And I think you guys are right that it's going to be the top of the class is going to stay around a lot longer. And they'll probably just stagger the call-ups much. They're just going to have to change their entire way of doing that. But I still think it is going to be ultimately a funnel to the main roster, as it is always intended to be. I think it's always going to be developmental. But this also, who knows what happens with Level Up. If that catches on as something on there, who knows, on CW's YouTube channel, who that's like a cross broadcast, who knows? So we'll have to see, especially like one night it ends up on, that's going to tell you the tale. But I'd also say, what was the deal? Like 35 million or something like that.
Yeah.
A year.
I'd imagine they didn't say the numbers for the USA deal with SmackDown, but I gotta imagine it's a little bit more than that. So
it's quite a bit more than that.
Yeah, SmackDown they got 1.4 million from you to go back to USA. SmackDown did
1.4 billion, and that's broke up over 5 years.
Yeah, 1.4 billion, not million.
Yeah, I was about to say, Rob, that's a pay cut, sir.
Yeah,
you're the math guy.
Look, they're all going to be doing podcasting with us for, you know.
So that's what I'm trying to say, though. Okay, it's still going to be the $35 million show on a roster, on a, you know, combined universe where one of the shows is 1.3 billion. So I think you guys are right that it's, and we're definitely going to see a lot of more folks that we would consider main roster come down and stay for a long time. I think this little cross promotion thing they did was a kind of a test for that. And so we'll see. But all in all, I think it's going to end up as, yeah, finishing school much more than it is now, but it's still developing.
Okay. Either way, we are going to be entering into interesting waters with WWE programming in 2024. I'm expecting 2024 to be a huge year for a lot of people in WWE, for the industry in general. There's a lot of people going to become free agents in 2024, both, you know, outgoing from WWE as well as incoming talent. How is that going to affect the weekly programming? How is the shuffle of the weekly programming going to affect the product overall? Going to be interesting times, guys. I think we are going to have one hell of a year and a lot of stuff to talk about in the next 13 months on this podcast.
Yeah, and then they gave me another year of, you know, number crunching to be interested.
Rob likes to pull his data.
Well, because I mean, you know, because look, if nothing had changed, then it would be kind of just time to shut the old project down here, you know. Since things are going to be changing, you know, I am interested to see how that affects certain things, viewing patterns, and you know. And all that type of stuff, traffic, you know, video traffic and whatnot. It's very interesting to me. Well, to me, look, I'm a numbers nerd. So it's all interesting to me. Now I don't go on the internet and say a bunch of disingenuous bullshit to you guys about it, which so many people do, but, it's always interesting. And one day when we have, you know, when we have time, I can actually, you know, go more into some of the stuff I've found over the last couple of years, because this year has been different in terms of how the way, like, a lot of data has shook out. This year has been different than last year. There are a lot of, it took me a whole show to talk about it, but next year is going to be different from this year, which gives me just another year to, to do this stuff.
And yeah, we'll bring the facts. He's the father of facts and figures. He is the deacon of data. I say this every intro of every show for the last 3 years. There's a reason for that. He knows his stuff, and he enjoys that. And we're going to bring that to you in the new year. I'm looking forward to it. It's been, we're coming up on 3 years that Jason has been with us. And that's a hell of an accomplishment, I think.
Jesus. The Hounds of Podcast, riding strong for 3 years.
Yeah, it's three guys who said, hey, let's give this a try. And I think that's awesome.
Yeah, and we're not selling Blue Chew or anything either.
No, we're not. Although I never know what the ads are going to be when we get up on the network. It's kind of left to their vices. And I'm assuming it's randomized. I have no part in that. Anyway, guys, I'm good here. I think we can call the go home and get out of here a little bit early.
Yeah, sounds good to me.
I can drag my old tired ass to bed because I am cooked this week. And I still got one more day to go. All right, this has been the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, part of the Chairshot Radio Network. You can, again, find us on thechairshot.com. You can also listen to us just about anywhere you listen to your podcast. Any one of those platforms will have us. I'm going to go back around the room here and thank my co-host, starting with Rob from the Rob the Genius Podcast. Sir, another fun show tonight.
Yes, it is. And I would also like to congratulate the 14-time women's champion for leading the Philadelphia 76ers to victory last night.
And there he is. He got the plug in. Plugged the queen. He made it. Right under the wire, he made it. And Bucky's tag team partner, Jason. Sir, hang in there. It is almost Friday, man.
Yes, sir. I'm excited.
All right. And again, as always, I am DJ. Thank you so much for listening to us. We have a lot of fun bringing this to you every week. We are going to get out of here. Remember, you can call it pro wrestling. You can call it sports entertainment. You can call it whatever you want, but call it in the ring. And we're out of here till next week.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.